We continue to get you ready for your fantasy drafts as we approach a big weekend in drafting here on the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. I'm Adam Azer with Al Melchior.
Oh, it's not just me.
I know. And Heath Cummings.
Hooray.
Heath, how did you like your podcast league team?
I liked my podcast league team. It got off to a little bit of a rough start, but then by the time I made my first pick, Goldschmidt was still there with the sixth overall pick, and I really liked that.
I'm sure you did. Now, did you make the Goldschmidt pick, or did the commissioner make it for you because you were running late and making a bad first impression to all of the podcast leaguers?
Well, I made the pick, but the commissioner did have to pause the proceedings because I did not show up on time.
That's
which,
right.
I mean, I probably should be penalized for that.
The only person in the league who didn't show up on time.
Yeah, and really, it's amazing, I think, under the circumstances that my team still turned out as good as it did.
Good, well, you showed up, you drafted Goldschmidt, that was a nice gift for you as Kershaw went in one of the first five picks, Goldschmidt fell, and yeah, you did a nice job. We'll talk about your team in a little bit. Today, I want to look at some of the interesting spring storylines, some fifth spots in the rotation still up for grabs, and guys made their cases yesterday, like Taijuan Walker, Asher Wojciechowski, Matt Andrees of Tampa Bay. So we'll talk about that kind of stuff. And an interesting note on Kevin Gausman from John Heyman. I want to start the... Oh, and then we'll look at Al's five drafted too early, five drafted too late. I want to start with one piece of fantasy advice, draft advice from you guys. We'll do more of this tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be a real draft preppy show. But one piece of draft advice...
Do we have to wear, like, polo shirts and, you know,
yeah,
fancy shoes and
draft preppy? That was great. Yeah, thank you. Yeah,
yeah.
Anyway,
they sorry get
to
better and better.
The show so early,
Al. You know, I think it's like a pitcher building arm strength because your jokes have gotten a lot better throughout spring training.
Hey, somebody tweeted. Can we have a joke tweet of the day?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, and of course I don't have it queued up. So, but yeah, somebody sent me this. So hopefully I can find this really fast here. Here's
all
a funny
all
bit.
All the delivery.
Yeah. Which, yeah, I messed up the other day, remember? Here's a funny, this is from Dun Dun. He's a pretty frequent emailer. Here's a funny bit for you. I like to call Oswaldo Arcia, or Arcia. There's Waldo. I see him.
That was glad that wasn't your joke, Al, because I feel better about saying it's not really that funny.
Well, I've adopted it as my own, so go ahead.
It's not bad. Dun, dun,
during
dun.
During our draft, didn't one of the listeners say that Al's humor plays a lot better in a draft room?
Yes.
Oh, Al's very good in the draft room. Very witty. Very witty. So
if you don't like my humor here, invite me to your league.
So what is one piece of draft advice that you have for our listeners?
Well, I'm going to make this a repeat because it's something that I need to learn much better as I found out this draft season, which is just stay on your game after you've made a mistake. Because in my last two drafts, our podcast league draft and then over the weekend at the Tout Wars auction, I let some early mistakes kind of derail me for a portion of the draft. So, I think that's key. Especially in an auction, it tends to be long. It tends to be intense. You're going to make a mistake. Might be a small one. Just keep moving on.
Heath.
I would say don't go house shopping like directly before the draft. And don't – maybe I could be a little bit more general. So let's – how about maybe clear your schedule 30 minutes before the draft just to be safe.
Well, I mean, seriously,
that's kind of a big deal.
Important, yeah.
You don't want to walk into the draft room, and I walked in 2 minutes late, but you don't want to walk in at 8 o'clock if the draft starts at 8 o'clock.
No,
it's true. You're behind already then.
And I like to put guys in my queue that I don't plan on drafting. Either put guys in my queue or have a document of guys that I plan on drafting late. So what I was going to say is I put guys in my queue that I don't plan on drafting until round 15 or later or something like that, Well, I put Xander Bogaerts in my queue, maybe not quite round 15. I put Javier Baez. I tend to forget about sleepers who might be a little bit lower in the projections and a little bit lower in the draft room. So I forget about those guys sometimes, so I put them in my queue or I come with a document. That's one piece of advice I give. What I was going to say, though, is that I don't think you should reach at third base because I do like the depth of that position. I keep finding myself liking that group of third basemen that fall and go around the same time a lot. And again, that's Bryant, Wright, Harrison, maybe Zimmerman, Longoria sort of fall back and get lumped with those guys, Chris Davis, Manny Machado. So guys, I would say that if you're looking at a third baseman early and you just think it might be too early for maybe Beltre or Arenado, I say don't do it. I say wait for the next group. What do you think? Did I mention Chris Bryant in that group? Because he should be. If I didn't.
Yeah. I think Chris Bryant went in the eighth round in the podcast league. I took Matt Carpenter just a few picks
another
later.
One. Exactly. Thank you.
And I had that decision to make in the third round. There was pitchers went really early in this draft and I had to choose between Arenado and Greinke. And I took Greinke because I thought he was one of the few aces left, not counting Giordano that I was going to take later.
Yeah. Opening day.
Right. But, so, yeah, I definitely think that's right. I you're faced with a decision like that. I would much rather just take Carpenter later.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I agree. Yeah, there's a lot of bunchiness at third base, so it's something you can take advantage of.
I don't think that means don't draft Donaldson in the first round and don't draft Rendon early or anything like that. But, you know, if you think you're reaching for Beltre or Arenado or something like that, or even if you think you're reaching for Longoria or Carlos Santana, I think they're a good fallback option. I like the position more than I did a month ago when we previewed it. I guess that's how I would put that. Okay, team name of the day is from the Edmonton FLB fanatic. Nobody puts Babip in a corner.
Yeah, it only really works if you pronounce it the counterculture way.
Yeah,
or i.e. incorrect.
Heath's a Babip guy, right?
I am a BABIP guy, yes. Yeah. That's how we say it in the Midwest.
Here's your quote of the day. It's from a story from John Heyman on our website. He said, the Orioles would prefer to put top young right-hander Kevin Gausman in the rotation, club officials say. So one possibility would be optioning a starter, with Miguel Gonzalez seeming more likely to go down than rather the wonderkind Gausman or the lone lefty starter Wei-Yin Chen, the other starters with options. Gausman will be on the team one way or another. So the only thing that I thought was interesting was that it doesn't make it sound like Gausman is a lock for the rotation.
Oh, I take it quite the other way. That this is very encouraging because, I mean, look, his overall spring stats have been brutal, but Ubaldo Jimenez has had his moments. And, you know, it's made me worry a little bit for Gausman. And basically what I'm hearing from the Salmon report is, you know, there's other solutions here besides removing Gausman from the rotation.
I'm hearing what both of you are hearing in the same quote, because the first sentence, they would like to have him in the rotation. I'm pretty excited. Good. I want him in the rotation. The last sentence, he will be on the team one way or another. I don't like that.
Yeah.
I would much rather
just remove that.
I mean, start him in AAA for a month as opposed to putting him in the bullpen. Don't put him in the bullpen, please.
I want to read a couple of emails. Yeah, I agree. So, wait, all right. Sorry. Before the emails, I should really follow up on this. Does this change the way you draft Kevin Gausman, or are you guys assuming that he's going to be in the Orioles rotation?
I had been assuming it. I would say this keeps me on that course.
Yeah, this doesn't change anything. I don't. If you took the last sentence out, it might even improve it a little bit. But with that last sentence, I think it just leaves it the same.
Here's an email from Todd in North Reading, Massachusetts. And look, Yordano Ventura is going to be the opening day starter. Jeff Samardzija is going to be the opening day starter, but that's really as a placeholder for Chris Sale. That's a little bit relevant right now, though, because Todd asks, how much consideration do you give the spot a pitcher holds in their rotation? The number one, the number two, the number three, the number four, the number five starter. I feel like this gets overlooked a lot. Side note, I don't. But how do you guys feel about this?
Well, I made sure that I CC'd Al yesterday when I saw that it was announced that Yordano Ventura is officially an ace. No, I don't think it gets overlooked, and I don't know maybe I do overlook it a little bit because I don't know that – I think maybe if it doesn't get overlooked, it's because it's not really that important between a 1 and a 2.
But no, between a 1 and a 2, no. You know, maybe 2 or 3 spaces, it starts to count. I don't give it a ton of consideration, but it is something certainly when I do projections that I have to pay attention to because it does make a difference in terms of the number of innings that I'll project for somebody. And in a points league, that really does matter, at least in our points leagues where it's three innings or rather three points per inning. So somebody who's going to get skipped frequently. Remember Drew Smyly last year?
Yeah.
You know, that's a pain.
So
that's a good point.
Does your Yordano Ventura projection change now that he's the number one starter?
I don't think so. No. Probably a good idea for me to see how many innings I have for him exactly, because maybe I should.
So
yeah, no, he might get a little bump. I've got him at 195. So,
I never really thought of anything of it. I mean, maybe people want to argue that the number ones face number ones more often and they have harder matchups, but throughout the season, that's not going to really hold up. The one thing I did want to mention though is Kyle Loesch is the opening day starter for the Brewers, and that probably means he's getting two starts the first week of the season. I don't know if you know it off the top of your head, Al, but he's a guy that's kind of fringy and might not get drafted in mixed leagues. So if you just want to stream a two-start guy, you might want to draft Kyle Loesch with your last pick. And he's not that bad either. I mean, he's kind of an underrated pitcher in points leagues, mm-hmm. as we talked about a few days ago. So that could be something. Other than that, it never really occurred to me to really care about where a guy's pitching in the rotation, as long as he's in it.
Yeah, and Loesch being the opening day starter, it's not really going to push the needle for me. And you know what you said, you may want to stream him. For me, that's almost an argument not to draft him because I figure at some point he's going to be on waivers. Maybe I figure incorrectly.
Okay, but if you drafted Alex Cobb or if you drafted Mike Minor or Chris Sale even, and you need a starting pitcher to fill into your rotation, a two-start Kyle Loesch is not a bad option.
Oh, I see what you're saying. No, not at all. I get you. That makes sense.
All right, here we go. Injuries, news, and notes. Let's try to go through these quickly. I want to get to Al's ADP thoughts and Heath's reaction to Al's ADP thoughts. Miami starting pitcher Jared Cozart being investigated for gambling. Kind of a weird story. Does this change anything? We haven't really talked about him as being worth drafting in mixed leagues anyway, but what do you guys think right now about the Marlins rotation? As David Phelps, by the way, is making a bid for it. With another good spring start.
I think you're a little behind here because it's all good now because he said he was hacked.
Did he really?
Yeah, he was hacked. So it didn't really happen.
Well, I'm sorry I missed that.
What an unusual response.
My bad. He is in the clear. Well, what do you really think?
First of all, I'll tackle the non-fantasy implication because you said, does it do for the Marlins? I think it's potentially very, very bad for them because I think they were counting on him to be the number three starter while Fernandez is out. And Latos has not had a good spring and coming off a year where he certainly merits some question marks, Latos. So now you got Henderson Alvarez, a kind of shaky Matt Latos, a big question mark now for Cozart, and then you got Heron and whoever the fifth starter would be. And then if you're looking at Cozart, you know, possibly missing time due to this, and I think that's probably a distant thing and you know, maybe it doesn't happen at all, but let's put it this way. I doubt the Marlins are still talking Brad Hand deals with the Rangers right now.
We had a funny headline on our website, courtesy of David Brown. Carlos Rodon, not quite sure how to say it yet. 4 innings, 4 hits, no runs, no walks, 9 strikeouts at the Royals in spring training. And do we need to put Rodon on our, I'm going to say it's Rodon, on our radar?
That was a good attempt there.
Yeah, there's some similarities.
I would put him, Rodon, your radar.
Do you guys think he'll be in the rotation at some point?
Oh, at some point, for sure.
This year, I mean.
Yeah.
And spring training stats don't mean anything, but I'm looking at the box score here. That's the Royals starting lineup. The Royals, as They do not have a good offense. But the one thing they do is put the ball in play. They don't strike out. So 9 strikeouts in 4 innings against that lineup, that's impressive.
It's really impressive. Really, really impressive.
Is he more stashable than Noah Syndergaard?
I think he is.
Yes.
Ooh, okay. Is he the most stashable pitcher that's going to start in the minors?
I'm not sure he's going to start in the minors. That's not been decided yet.
Yeah. But if we assume that's true, I would say so. Yeah, I would say more than Syndergaard. Another one that I would maybe consider is Mark Appel. I think more so than him. So, yeah.
Cool. I'll get
that.
Here is a slew of Yankees news. I hope everybody is excited. Dellin Betances is not having a good spring. He says his velocity isn't close to where it should be. Joe Girardi said it's similar to where it was at this time last year, and he's a power pitcher, and he's not concerned about it. But I have not drafted him and will not draft Dellin Betances because I'm just worried that he's not going to be the closer. And I don't know, what do you guys think real quick on that?
I'm with you on that. I haven't drafted him, and now I'm even less inclined to do so.
I do not like to hear him saying that he's not happy with his velocity. Even if Joe Girardi is, the fact that he isn't is not a good sign.
Yeah, and he dominated last spring, and it's not even close this spring. He's given up a run in 4 straight outings. Meanwhile, Jacoby Ellsbury will likely be ready for opening day despite his oblique injury. He fell to the mid to late 4th round in our podcast league draft, and people are pretty scared of the injury. It looks like Ellsbury's going to be good to go opening day. Alex Rodriguez could be the Yankees' full-time DH. Heath, do you care at all about Alex Rodriguez in fantasy?
Yes, I do, because I do not like the Yankees. And so, because they don't like A-Rod, now I do. So I'm cheering for him to be the full-time DH. And I hope he does something. I kind of hope he has success so that there's this awkward thing where people don't know whether to cheer for him or not.
Well, they'll cheer for him if he does well. I think the Yankees fans will anyway. Do you think that he's, like, if you're in a league where, like, maybe a Mike Moustakas or a Lonnie Chisenhall or a David Freese is relevant, do you think A-Rod measures up with those guys better, worse, same? What do you think?
I think that's a good, probably, floor.
So he could be better.
I think he could definitely be better than Moustakas.
Okay. Adam Warren, the front runner to be the Yankees' 5th starter while Chris Capuano's out. Adam Warren is having a good spring and RP eligible. Anyone care?
AL only, maybe.
Devin Trav is expected to win the Toronto second base job. Micah Johnson looks like the favorite for the White Sox job, according to ESPN.com, and he would likely bat 9th in that same article, according to ESPN.com. So Devin Travis, Micah Johnson, are they close, or is Johnson much more appealing?
I think Johnson's more appealing. By the way, I was watching a Tigers spring training game the other night, and they were talking about the trade that brought Ghost to Detroit. They pronounced it Devon Travis.
Oh, okay.
Which I think is infinitely cooler. I don't know if it's correct, but it sounds good.
Works for me.
Yeah. So I think Johnson's a little more appealing than Travis, because I think he's a guy that you could start in a middle infield slot in a roto league. Travis in a 12-team roto league, whereas Travis, I think his main appeal is probably 15 teams and deeper.
And Micah Johnson will likely steal some bases for you, so late speed option there if he gets that second base job. Anthony Rendon, no structural damage in his knee. Doesn't seem like he'll be ready for opening day, but maybe ready soon after opening day. That's Anthony Rendon. Some studs from yesterday. You guys just tell me what really matters for fantasy here. Asher Wojciechowski for the Astros, trying to get that 5th spot, was very good. Tampa Bay starting pitcher Matt Andrees had a nice start at Minnesota, 5 scoreless with 3 hits and 6 Ks. Taiwan Walker has not given up a run in 18 spring innings. 6 hits, 4 walks, 19 strikeouts for Seattle's presumed 5th starter, but not assured to be 5th starter, Taiwan Walker. Daniel Norris, Kyle Gibson, Anthony DiSclafani, Eddie Butler. They were all good. Daniel Norris, Kyle Gibson, Anthony DiSclafani, Eddie Butler. So with Wojciechowski, Andrees, Walker, and the four I just named after that, what do you guys want to highlight here?
I still think Walker's the most relevant out of that group. And I think Seattle was going to make him really prove it this spring, and that's exactly what he's done.
Yeah, I like Kyle Gibson. I, you know, it's kind of interesting because I think everybody else on this list, yeah, they're, you know, they haven't really spent time in a rotation. I mean, Gibson is established now, but I do think he has a lot of breakout potential this year. But, you know, Norris also, you know, potentially very high end. I do worry about him in that division and in that ballpark.
Likelihood of Taijuan Walker having a Yordano Ventura-like season this year?
Like Yordano last year or
yes.
Like... 30%?
So Yordano or better?
Yes.
I'll go 60%.
That means you got to draft him.
Yep.
Also and he's going to get drafted. All right, likelihood of Kyle Gibson having a Yordano or better?
Lower. I'd say probably more like 40%.
Heath, I got three hitters.
He has a different kind of appeal. I think in a points league, he could have very similar value because the strikeouts just don't count as much. He can be very efficient, Gibson. And he kind of let out a noise there. I don't even know how to characterize that. But that's the thing about Gibson. Yeah, I think everybody kind of has that feeling inside of them when they think of him. But I think he really does have some sleeper appeal in points leagues where the innings could be a difference maker.
Am I wrong? And I know you're going to say I'm wrong because you just said he had a 40% chance of being as good as Yordano Ventura. I feel like Jeremy Guthrie's like his ceiling.
Oh, no. No, God. I think that's Gibson's floor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Heath, I got three hitters I want to run by.
I think he's better than Guthrie already.
Okay.
Yeah.
Heath, I've got three hitters I want to run by. CJ Crone hit his seventh double. Jock Peterson homered and Ike Davis homered, continuing a strong spring. I know Al said that Davis kind of a deep sleeper for him, as he seems to maybe finally be over the Valley Fever. But Crone, Peterson, and Davis, care to comment?
The Peterson doesn't excite me quite as much because I think we'd already decided that he's going to have an everyday job and he's going to... We expect him to be a pretty good value. Crone, I'm a little bit... I feel like he's undervalued, but he's... The ceiling's not exceptionally high. And then Davis, he scares me.
So I guess you like CJ Crone better than Ike Davis.
I think I do. And I shouldn't.
I think
I'm not sure. I know I've got Crone two or three spots ahead of Davis.
Okay.
So, yeah, I wouldn't disagree with you on that. I just think and Crone's not getting that much attention.
Right.
But, I mean... Ike Davis is scaring just about everybody.
Oh yeah,
and I think it's, you know, he's worthy. I think he's worthy of a flyer, and I think his power upside may be a little higher than Crone's.
Let's do some ADP review. Average draft position: 5 drafted too early, according to Al Melchior. Yan Gomes, Alcides Escobar, Pablo Sandoval, Trevor Rosenthal, Matt Latos. Yan Gomes, Alcides Escobar, Pablo Sandoval, Trevor Rosenthal, and Matt Latos are going too early. Yan Gomes is going in round 14 in points leagues and round 11 in roto leagues. He was a top 6 catcher in points leagues, number 4 in roto last year. Why do you think he's going too early, Al?
Well, just simply because I have him on my bust list. So in a way, I hesitate to put Gomes on this list because if you want him, if you do believe that the batting averages of the last couple of seasons are legit, then that's when you have to take him. I just don't think you should want to invest that kind of value in Gomes because I think he's going to be much more one-dimensional this season. I don't really buy into the batting averages, given that he's not a very good contact hitter. You know, Scott and I have sort of debated this a little bit, and you know, Scott's pointed out that, well, he's had high BABIPs 2 years in a row, so you know maybe that's a sign that he can do it. But I just, if you look underneath the BABIP, you don't see signs of a player. You don't see a profile of somebody who's good at getting hits on balls in play, other than by sheer luck.
Alcides Escobar, round 17 in points leagues, round 15 in rotisserie leagues. Too high for Al. Escobar was the number 5 shortstop in fantasy in roto in categories last year, number 8 in points. Heath, do you think round 15 in a roto league is, or a categories league?
Well, this is so unfair to get on the Royals guy.
Well,
too early.
Here's the thing. I want to put a qualifier on this first, because I actually felt like Escobar was somebody that was due for regression. I had to send in some sample work, and I wrote a little regression piece before I even got this job. And Escobar was one of the guys that I thought was probably going to go backwards. But then when I look at the guys that are being drafted behind him, I don't know how he could be overdrafted, because I don't know which of these guys anybody would – he doesn't have to be good to be better than the guys that are being drafted after him. He can be worse than he was last year and still be quite a bit better, in my opinion.
Would you guys rather have Gene Segura or Alcides Escobar in a roto league?
I would rather have Escobar, and Segura's being drafted ahead of him.
Al?
It's close for me. I think actually I'd rather go Segura.
So,
I'm referring to my rankings. I have them very, very close. I actually do have Escobar a little bit ahead of Segura.
Let's look at the other guys being drafted around Alcides Escobar. Javier Baez. So it goes Rollins, Baez, Escobar, Bogarts, Peralta, Ibar, Correa, Asdrubal Cabrera, you know, Hardy, Lowry. Well, why do you think he's being overdrafted, Al, round 15?
Okay, so we just take a few of those guys. Four of them are bunched up in my projections. So there's Escobar himself, Baez, who I think has much greater upside than what I projected him for, Segura, and Asdrubal Cabrera. There's no need to reach for Escobar when you can get, say, Cabrera much later and get very, very similar value overall. You're not going to get the steals.
Asdrubal
Cabrera?
It's
a bad idea to reach for a guy just for the steals when you can piece them together. And if you're really...
But 15th round is piecing them together. But that's not really a reach.
Well, I mean, but then, you know, then I guess there's no point in talking about any 15th rounder as an overdraft.
No, I think that's good value for a guy who's going to help you fill middle infield and fill steals.
Well, I don't, you know, I guess I don't, because he doesn't give you much else. He might give you batting average, but he's been really inconsistent in that regard. You know you're not getting power from him.
Yeah. Yep.
Jose Ramirez, who you know I really like. You get a full season of production from him, and he does what he did for the last 2 months plus last season, you're going to get as much production from Jose Ramirez, who's not even getting drafted in most leagues.
Okay.
So that's my point. It's not that Escobar is worse than the people going after him, but you can get some who are going to give you about the same or maybe better production. But you can reasonably expect similar production from guys that you can get even later.
Not to split hairs, but I think your case might be better for Jose Ramirez as being undervalued, because that is a really good point.
Why can't I have it both ways?
No, it's just like that's a good point. Jose Ramirez, good deep sleeper there. Pablo Sandoval, round 13 in points, round 14 in roto. Too early for Al. Heath, what do you think?
I think it's about right again. I mean, I don't. The thing is, with this list, this is generally guys that I'm not really excited about being very good this year. But it seems to me that with not all of them, but at least Escobar and Sandoval, that's kind of being worked into their ADP a little bit. I'm not going to be disappointed if somebody takes Sandoval in front of me in the 13th round. But I have a hard time saying that he's being drafted too early.
Yeah, well, and he's another one like Gomes. He's on my bust list. I don't understand why people like him to the degree that they do, because I just see him as very fringy for a standard mixed league. If we go back to last year, in points leagues, he had about the same, I think maybe even slightly lower points production as Casey McGee, who, you know, mixed league owners generally are completely ignoring.
Right.
And, you know, you could say, oh, well, you know, McGee's probably not going to have as good a season this year. But, I mean, it's not as if, you know, people were overwhelmed with what he did for most of last year, McGee. And Sandoval's, you know, year-end line produced about the same number of fantasy points. And that was a year in which Sandoval actually stayed healthy, which I don't expect.
Do we think that Sandoval's power numbers are going to be better, though, this year?
He'll hit more doubles. So there is that. but I don't see that being a big game changer for him.
Yeah, I was going to say it might be the Boston perception. And then third base gets a little scary if you do miss out on all the guys we talked about, because he goes right after Bryant, Machado, Wright, Harrison, Carpenter. And then you're talking Sandoval, Bogarts, Alvarez, Simeon, Prado, Headley, Aramis Ramirez. Who would you take over Sandoval at that point? I'll say him again. Bogarts, Alvarez, Simeon, Prado, Headley, Aramis Ramirez.
Everybody on that list but Prado.
Heath?
Bogarts.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not, and I know that there's a lot of love on the podcast for Marcus Simeon, and I'm not saying I'm against him, but I'm not near as high on him as everybody else is.
Okay, let's talk about Trevor Rosenthal. Rosenthal's going in round 9 in points leagues, round 10 in roto leagues. He's going ahead of David Robertson, Dellin Betances, Mark Melancon, Zach Britton. Too early for Al.
Way too early. And you had me there at David Robertson.
Yeah, I know.
I don't even see how there's a comparison there.
I guess the question is...
You could say, okay, I don't believe Zach Britton is going to get strikeouts or Mark Melancon, but Robertson is a proven strikeout guy who doesn't have the control issues that Rosenthal had last year.
Question is, would you go Rosenthal or Betances? That'd be tough.
That would be tough.
I'd skip them both.
I would skip them both if I had to, but if I'm forced to, I probably would go Rosenthal.
And I think we talked about Matt Latos on yesterday's show. He's having a bad spring. He's going in round 11 in points, round 15 in roto. Latos or Yordano Ventura?
I'd go Yordano.
Yes. We found somebody that Al said Yordano over.
That's pretty telling. So, want to tell everybody about FanDuel quickly. Don't miss your chance to join before the season kicks off. Sign up now to play one day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. And right now, there is a special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. And the offer is only good for the first 50 people that use the offer code. And the offer code is CBS. FanDuel.com, every day is a new season. FANDUEL.com. Sign up today and use that offer code CBS, and you're going to get that special offer. 5 drafted too late for Al Melchior. Victor Martinez, covered him on yesterday's show. David Wright, round 10. So back to third base. Wright's very interesting when he's around that whole group of Machado, Harrison, Seager, Bryant, Chris Davis, blah, blah, blah. You think round 10 is too late for David Wright? Al, make your case. Heath, give your thoughts after, please.
Yeah, with Wright, it's simple because I'm not that eager to draft him, but just when I saw where he's going relative to that rest of that cluster at third base, I just think he's there's a little too much caution around Wright. He still has the upside to be easily a top 5.
I agree 100%, and he's on a lot of my teams. So yeah, I'm on board with David Wright.
I'm going to read you the third baseman. There are 7 or 8. Let me just do some quick math here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 that are going within, well, 50 picks is a lot. Because there's a big... Fine, I'll stop at Harrison. I'll stop at Chris Davis. 7 that are going within 30 picks of each other, basically. I think all of them could be top 5. I want to know if you guys agree. Matt Carpenter, could he be top 5?
In points.
Which list are we looking at, roto or head-to-head?
I'm looking at head-to-head, but...
Okay, well, if we're going, then definitely yes.
No, it doesn't matter what list I'm looking at. I want you guys to qualify like Al did. If you think it's only in one format, that's fine. Like, do you think Matt Carpenter could be a top 5 in roto?
I have a hard time seeing that.
Okay, Ryan Zimmerman.
I'll say yes to both.
Yeah, he could be.
Kyle Seager.
I don't think so.
Yes, slim odds, I'd say.
Chris Bryant.
I'd say also slim odds.
Manny Machado?
Yeah, put pretty much the same category as Bryant. Obviously, the upside to do it, I think just not this year.
Heath?
Yeah, I think I like Machado's odds to do that better than Seager's and slightly better than Bryant's.
David Wright.
Yes.
Probably the best of anybody we've said in the last five names.
Chris Davis.
He's a bounce back guy for me. I think he definitely has a shot at it.
Okay. Agreed. I'd say probably maybe a little lower percentage chance than Wright.
Jason Wirth going a little bit too late for Al. Round 15 in points, round 16 in Roto. Still has a chance to be ready for opening day. 36 years old, though. Arthroscopic shoulder surgery in the offseason. And didn't have a great year last year. 16 homers, 9 steals, .292 batting average in 147 games. So, Al, you still think great value for him in round 15 or round 16, Jason Wirth?
Yeah, I do think that's great value. A huge overreaction to all the factors that you just mentioned.
And so. Mike Fiers. I'm sorry, I just want to speed it up a little bit. Mike Fiers, round 13 in points, round 15 in Roto. I know, Al, you convinced me. You know how you convinced me on Fiers?
I don't. I sure'd like to know, though.
I didn't know that he was struggling with you know, his mother had health issues a couple years ago.
Yes, and then she passed away in the middle of the season.
Yes, I did not know that, and that was you know, obviously awful, but it was an explanation for his struggles that resonated with me, and I believe in him. You've got me on board.
Yeah, I mean, it's such an outlier, where he's going, it's just I'm looking to him a little bit earlier than that because we get to that point that we've talked about a lot after about the top 30 or so pitchers are off the board, and your choices are between the, you know, kind of the Jared Weavers, who are, you know, going to be give you steady production, but not, you know, we the upside's not really there, and I think Fiers has a ton of upside that's going unrecognized, and I'd rather go for the upside.
So would you go Fiers or Shoemaker?
I'd go Fiers.
Heath?
I think I'd have to go Shoemaker, but I do agree with a lot of things Al said on Fiers.
Fiers or Tillman?
Definitely Fiers.
Fiers.
Two pitchers going around the same time as Fiers are Zach Wheeler and Marcus Stroman. Would you take Fiers over those two guys?
Yes, please.
I think so, yes.
To be fair, they're both down about 20 spots from previous ADP data. Last guy on Al's drafted too late list is Jose Fernandez. Heath, Jose Fernandez is going around round 15 in a 12-team league. What do you think about that?
I've been against this, and I guess I'm starting to come around a little bit, but I still feel like there's a really good chance that he sits out until July, and then he throw in maybe four or five innings to start in July, and maybe he's not even that good in this year. So I feel like it's a little bit early still.
You know, Al, in our podcast league, I have Jake McGee and Mike Minor on my DL.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of why I'm against drafting Jose Fernandez, because if you only have two DL spots, which I think is pretty common, I think there's a lot of value in DL spots, actually. So I don't like tying it up for that long. But I know we've disagreed about this for months.
But I actually think that's probably the best argument against not taking Jose Fernandez sooner than he's going. Because in terms of the argument that you know, he might give you nothing, I fully acknowledge that is a possibility. But I look at who's available. Now, granted, I'm looking at our podcast league as an example. And the starters that went in that 15th round were Odorizzi, Gausman, and Taiwan Walker. So in that particular case, yeah, you know, maybe I would go certainly with Walker and maybe with Gausman. But I find generally in drafts that the options available in round 15 are ones that I can pass up on.
Okay. That's fair. So you get to the point where you're not loving anybody. You say, let's take Jose Fernandez and hopefully get a second half stud.
Yes.
Gotcha. Heath, your podcast league team.
Yes.
Great name that you've got right now. Team Heath Cummings.
Well, I like it.
Could you tell us the story behind that?
Yeah, I don't get it.
I'm going to change my name today.
Good.
So you can expect a new team name before I talk to you again.
That's excellent. And tomorrow we'll reveal it to everyone.
And I'll even have a logo.
Now you have Willian Rosario as your catcher. How do you feel about his playing time?
I don't feel good about that at all.
Okay.
I think when we talk about this, I don't know how in-depth we're going to get, we'll see that the reason I gave the advice I did and your follow-up to it was perfect because my draft just steadily got worse. It started off really, really good. I love the start of my draft.
Which with what?
Goldschmidt at 6.
Uh-huh.
And I almost got Donaldson in the second, but he went one spot in front of me, and I got Puig. And then I got Greinke in the third, which I thought was really good value. Dozier in the fourth. Smarja in the fifth. I went closer with Greg Holland in the sixth. At that point, I felt really good about my team. And then it kind of went downhill. And as I look at the draft results, there's a lot of places where I can say, man, I wish I would have not taken that guy.
Well, yeah, I agree. That was a good start. I think in this format anyway, and I know this is your first points league like this, saves aren't a category.
Right.
Holland's a great player. I would have changed your closer approach and probably waited just to get guys who get saves later.
Right.
And you have three closers on your team, or you have Joaquim Soria on your team, and I know that you like him as a sleeper, but in this format where
right.
only probably 20 true closers are drafted, you probably don't even need him. You can drop him for someone with more upside.
Well, and I will say, I mean, round 8 I got Carpenter, so I was really happy with that.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Everybody probably thought I reached for Ventura in the next round. But
yeah.
I knew that everybody we were drafting with knew how much I liked Ventura. That's a little bit of his advantage because I'd made that abundantly clear. And so I kind of felt like if there was anybody else in the league that liked him, they knew they were going to have to take him early.
I actually think your rotation's pretty good, except I think Al just nodded in agreement. I don't like Verlander that much, but look, you can find a number 5 starter on waivers. You also have Irvin Santana on your bench. So let's read your team and how it turned out. Okay, we got Willian Rosario at catcher, Paul Goldschmidt, Brian Dozier, Matt Carpenter, Jimmy Rollins. That's your infield. It's a pretty darn good infield, especially in this format because of Carpenter's points-ness.
Yeah.
Outfield is Puig, Alex Gordon, and Charlie Blackman. And your utility is Yasmani Tomas with Eric Hosmer, Alex Rios, and Ned Yost on your bench. No, just kidding. Kenneth Vargas on your bench. You do have a lot of Royals, I noticed.
Well, I mean, they just kept falling to me. I couldn't pass on the great value.
Sure. So
no, that's not exactly what happened.
Okay. I haven't figured out all of your sarcasm yet.
Okay.
Well, what happened then?
Well, like I said, I wasn't as prepared as I needed to be. And as somebody that's played categories leagues and playing in your first points league and showing up to the draft 2 minutes after it starts and drafting on your phone from a sports bar, when you get towards the later rounds, you start going with familiarity a little bit more than you do maybe with value.
Yes.
That's a high degree of difficulty there.
I think my team's pretty good considering that degree of difficulty.
I do too. I like it. I like this team.
I mean, I'm just being honest. I'm not trying to be a jerk. Your outfield and your utility with Yasmani Tomas and Hosmer Rios Vargas on the bench. Your hitting is not great. Your pitching could be really good. Greinke, Samardzija, Ventura, Keuchel, Verlander, and then Irvin Santana on the bench with Greg Holland and Fernando Rodney as your relievers. Rodney's a whip killer in roto or categories, but that doesn't matter here. If he gets a lot of saves like he did last year, then you've got like two probably top 5 or top 7 closers, and Holland could be at number 1. So you might make up some ground there. Now, I would drop Soria if I were you and pick up another starting pitcher because in this league you want starting pitchers on your bench so you can stream two start guys. And this is a weekly format, not daily.
Right.
So you don't need Soria, and you probably don't need Hosmer or Rios or Vargas. Like, one of those three you could probably drop.
I was going to say, I'd be more inclined to drop Vargas or Hosmer before Soria.
Oh, but what's the point of having Soria? Seriously. He's got Holland and Rodney.
My thought process with that is that I'm not 100% sold on the fact that Rodney's going to be the closer all year. And I think that by the end of April, Soria is going to be a better option than Rodney.
This is what I'm saying, though. Like, if Rodney loses his job, this is a 12-team league with two closer spots. So this is for anybody out there who's playing in this type of format, or a 10-team league with two closer spots. There are and starting pitchers in this league are eligible to be relievers. Let's say Rodney loses his job. There aren't that many people that are going to go to the waiver wire to pick up Soria or whoever's going to replace Rodney or whoever's on waivers right now that's already a closer. So you just don't need to put that guy on your bench.
You don't need to, but
you like shouldn't.
Well, it depends on what's out there on waivers. But like I said, he's got at least two players that I think are far more easily replaced than Soria and Hosmer and Vargas, because there's a good first baseman, and I know Vargas is not first base eligible yet, but there's a good first baseman on waivers. Yes, in this format, there's not the same urgency to roster saves as in a roto league, but 20 closer spots it's not as cushy as it sounds. I mean, there's probably 20 fairly solid closer situations in the majors right now, and 10 that are pretty shaky. And I've actually got a blog post I'm going to publish pretty much right after this podcast, where I rank my 10 favorite closers in waiting that I would target in drafts. And the only one I have higher than Soria is Ken Giles. So I would rather be the guy stashing Soria than the one scrambling to get him when my Fernando Rodney or Trevor Rosenthal or whoever goes down.
Okay, well, here
I'm are I'm not saying at any cost, but if I had other guys that were fairly easily replaceable, I'd be good with stashing.
And I do think this is an interesting question I'm going to bring up, and it's probably good for people out there listening. So that's kind of what we're doing this for. As far as the streaming two start pitchers, is that really going to happen in the first 2 or 3 weeks of the season?
Yes. Maybe not in the first week, but like, I'll ask you this. Let's say Kyle Loesch, he's not available. Let's say he were. Would you go two-start Kyle Loesch or one-start Justin Verlander?
Well, I'd rather have Loesch, but he's not available, right?
Well, let's see
who
it is.
No, he's not. But, like, I could see Peralta might get two. Yeah, see, in the first week, the guys who are going to get two starts are probably going to be the studs, and they're all drafted. The second week, I do think there are going to be some two-start guys on waivers for you to get.
See, I would think with the way that off days are set up early in the year, the first week there's going to be very few guys that get two starts. So a lot of times, the guys that are going to get two starts in the second week are going to be the ones and twos. And so you're to the third week before any of the threes or fours are getting two starts. Is that
yeah, I would just go get somebody now. Like if you think Kyle Hendricks is going to make the Cubs rotation, I would drop one of the guys we talked about to pick up Kyle Hendricks.
Right.
Because even if he doesn't get two starts, if he has one good start, he'll be picked up the next day in a league like this. That's how it works early in the season. So get the guys now before you even give anyone else a chance.
Or if he's looks like he'll make two starts in week two, then you've beaten the rush there.
Yeah, so it's a shallow league. Use your bench spots wisely. I've got some more players that we don't talk about, continued from a discussion we had a couple days ago. Thoughts from the throne. I can't believe not one fantasy analyst talked about Justin Morneau.
I'm laughing because he sent me one to my account saying, stop sleeping on Justin Morneau. And in fact, after taking a closer look, I did move him up in my points league rankings.
Okay.
I've been touting him on the podcast, and then I had him ranked too low for the points. I think I've got him up to 17th now among first basemen, and I think he's on my bench in the podcast league, if I remember correctly.
So would you rather have Morneau or Vargas, Kenneth Vargas?
I would rather have Morneau and buy a lot in a points league, and yes, I do have him in the podcast league.
How about in a roto league?
It's closer there. I think I'd still give Morneau a slight edge.
In a roto league, would you guys rather have Morneau or Hosmer?
I've got them right next to each other. You said in roto?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got Morneau just slightly ahead of Hosmer.
Heath?
Oh, I've got to say Hosmer, don't I?
Yeah.
well, and you know how I feel about... And he's not that old, but he's going to be 34.
Yeah. I do know how you feel. Here's a tweet from Christian. This is a formal request for more... This is Jock Peterson pronunciations on the podcast. Thank you. I don't know if he wants more talk about Peterson or if he just wants the Ferris Bueller's joke.
Yeah, he says pronunciation, so pretty clear, and I fully endorse that request.
Could that be a team name?
Yes.
If I get a picture of Cameron? All right. This is Jock Peterson. Excellent. That's going to be a team name for me.
Does that also work for Jace Peterson?
Yes, it does, but nobody's going to know who Jace Peterson is, really. So.
Oh, come on, Al. Do it.
This is Jace Peterson. That might be even better. I don't know. Anyway, Shan says, we don't talk enough about post-hype guys and returns from injury like Matt Moore and Avisail Garcia.
And?
Well, we talked about Jed Jerko, so I left Jed Jerko off.
Okay. Well, I really like Jerko.
You do?
I am really talking myself into him more and more.
It's something about that particular spot on our podcast, because there used to be a person on our podcast who's a little fondness for Jed Jerko.
Well, I can understand that. He's going to be much better than he was last year, and he's being drafted not as such.
Well, Heath, I'll give you an example of a Jerko dilemma. So I have Anthony Rendon in our podcast league and need a replacement for week one, most likely. Mm-hmm. So I had to decide between Utley or Jerko. I picked up Utley. I think points versus roto is a big differentiator there. But let's just say in a roto league, I would have gone Jerko. But how would you compare the two?
Yeah, I think that for a head-to-head league, you probably made the right decision. But I think it's pretty close. And in a roto league, I think I would take Jerko.
You know, the one thing that I thought of was like Jerko has a chance of being, in my opinion, a chance of having a great year and being a must-own, where I really don't see that for Utley.
No, and Jerko has a chance of hitting a couple of home runs in the opening week.
Yeah, he does. I just think he's going to strike out so much that points format's not very good for him.
Right.
You know, as far as Matt Moore, no, we don't talk about him much at all, and I haven't drafted him. I mean, certainly I've been in leagues and mocks where he's gone in the late rounds. So just when it comes to stashing, DL guys well into the season, he just doesn't get on my radar, because even if he were fully healthy, I'm just not that high on him. He's got huge control issues. I think wind they're going to be an issue for him with the Rays when he comes back. He's not that appealing.
And how about Avisail Garcia?
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, he's in a different situation because he's come back from his injury, came back much earlier than people anticipated last year. In fact, we didn't anticipate him back at all. And then he hit very well when he came back. So I found that highly encouraging.
Yeah, I would say of the three names there, Garcia is the one that has the biggest argument to be not talked about enough.
I think he's a must draft, and the others are more speculative. Yeah.
Right. And I think Matt Moore is well behind the other two, in my opinion. I haven't talked about Matt Moore because I'm not really considering him.
Paul Milton Williams says, we don't talk enough about Jorge Soler.
You know, we don't. And yet I'm sort of at a loss of what to say. But he's on my podcast league team. I like him a lot. I've got him the utility slot, but I would have been happy with him as my number three outfielder. We haven't seen a lot from him. He moved up the ranks very quickly. But last year, at every stop, he was a powerhouse.
Yeah. Heath, any final comment on Jorge Soler before we end this phone?
I get a little bit concerned on a guy that moved through that many levels last year. I think he could be, I mean, we talked about it maybe last week. You brought up some guys that were, and he isn't quite in a second year situation. I mean, he's really still in his first. But some guys that were in their second year that we had high expectations for that didn't live up to those expectations, I think some people are probably putting some unfair expectations on him at this point in his career.
So would you guys go Jorge Soler or Mookie Betts?
Mookie.
Jorge Soler or Alex Gordon?
Oh, I was going to go
Alex Gordon.
Yeah.
Not worried about the wrist injury, Heath?
Well, not really. No, I'm not. Guy is a machine. He's one of, as far as guys that are in shape and baseball players, he's got to be in the top 5%. And so he's a workout fiend. If anybody's going to rehab from an injury and come back as good or better, it's going to be him.
Yeah, ESPN did a pretty cool feature on the second to last at bat of the World Series. Did you see it? Should they have sent Alex Gordon?
Yeah, there's no way. It's the stupidest question ever.
I agree with you.
There's no way he would have been out, but it was cool. It was a cool feature.
No, it was a cool feature, unless you're a Royals fan and you've been trying to forget that moment for the last 3 or 4 months. Then it's not really that cool of a feature.
Why wasn't he going all out of the box? Because if he was...
Because what percentage... Alex Gordon, and I just said he's a workout fiend, and he's a fan favorite. Alex Gordon's not George Brett. George Brett doesn't play baseball anymore. Nobody is running all out on a play like that everybody expects just a normal play to be made. I mean, maybe there's one or two guys that are, but that's just not the way that the game is played anymore. And stop making me sad.
I think he also said that he couldn't, like, he didn't find first base originally, so he kind of slowed up around first base. But yeah, he would have been out by a mile if they had sent him home. But
and I think if he had ran as hard as he could from the second he hit it, knowing that he was going to have a chance to score, I still think he's out by 3 steps.
Could be.
So, well, I'm not blaming Alex Gordon for not sprinting around first base.
Well, in case anybody missed it, just want to remind people the Giants beat the Royals in Game 7.
Do you not like Heath?
No, I'm sorry.
At least if you're going to say that, finish with Game 7 of the World Series. So you can remind me that the Royals were in the World Series.
And it was an amazing, amazing World Series.
I do take some blame for that because I attended 4 postseason games last year and the Royals were 4-0. And I did not go to Game 7. So... Ooh.
Why? But you would have had to take out another mortgage?
I only had one kidney left, and I couldn't sell that one, so yeah.
All right. Hey, cool. Thanks, guys. Looking forward to tomorrow's show. Al Melchior, thank you.
Thank you, Adam.
Heath Cummings, looking forward to your team name tomorrow.
Yes, I'd be very afraid.
Okay. I'm Adam Azer. We'll talk to you on Friday.